Good morning. Welcome to Christ Chapel on this fifth Sunday of Easter as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and in doing so the ways in which life continues to follow death in our own existence. A special thank you to our ringers today and of course Dr. Chad Winterfelt making his way up the stairs in the back, cantor of Christ Chapel, and newest recipient of the Swenson Bunn Teaching Award here at Gustavus. Thank you and congratulations, Dr. Winterfelt. Today we celebrate Holy Communion. Please know that all are welcome to receive. If you are doubtful about whether or not to come forward, our sense is that if you have a pulse, you are welcome to take Holy Communion here in Christ Chapel. So I'm hoping that that includes everyone here today. We will commune by way of intinction. You will come forward the center aisle, and there will be bread and wine on each side. You'll receive a piece of bread or a gluten-free wafer, if you so choose, and you will dip it into the chalice. The chalice has a divider. On one half of it is grape juice, and the other half wine. The wine is purple, and the grape juice is white. So those options are there for you. With that being said, please rise and face the baptismal font on the north end of the chapel as we begin our call to worship.
Sisters and brothers, you have heard the good news. Brothers and sisters, you hold firmly to this faith. Christ appeared to the disciples. Sisters and brothers, it has already been proclaimed. Brothers and sisters, you have already received this promise.
Christ appears to us.
Sisters and brothers, this is the hardest claim in our faith. Brothers and sisters, the good news is not ancient history.
Christ will appear again.
Sisters and brothers, this is the mystery that we share. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news that we proclaim.
Christ appears to us now. Amen.
Grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us turn our hearts to God in confession. Oh God, we are alarmed. We are alarmed that you would appear to us. We can understand that you might appear to disciples, those that went with Jesus to do good and heal the oppressed. It is hard for us to imagine that you truly show no partiality. Surely there are more talented people, more prayerful people, more intelligent people, more faithful people than we. But today, O God, we remember that you come to us all. You come to the strong and the ill, the rich and the poor, the proud and the humble. You appear. You come again to remind us what we have forgotten. Forgive us, O God, for our alarm. Forgive us, O God, for not believing. Appear to us now so that we might be resurrected with your love. Amen. God appeared long ago to the faithful. God appears now to the doubters. God will appear to seekers. God appeared and is appearing. Because God shows no partiality, because God so loves this world, and God so loves you. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for Christ is alive and appears daily in our lives. Increase our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people. For we are the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand, and we come before your presence with thanksgiving. In this we pray. Amen.
A reading from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has given for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has nothing to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Good morning. Our psalm this morning, you will find in your red hymnal, the ELW, the psalms are numbered like hymns. So if you page about one-third of the way through the hymnal, you'll start to see numbers in red, and we're looking for number 95, Psalm 95 this morning. And we will sing this to a psalm tone. I do need my David to give me a pitch so I'm together with him. And the tone goes like this. If you can just watch, I'll sing the first verse as an example. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. So that's the tone we will use. We're going to sing verses 1 through 7, and we will sing in alternation. So I'll sing 1, you respond with 2, and so forth. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving, and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God, and a great ruler above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The good news from John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. About 3,000 miles to the southeast of this chapel, there sits a small Caribbean community, and its name is Tuckville. And in this tropical seaside village just a few years ago, on what started as a seemingly typical morning, something remarkably atypical transpired. It all began when a group of small children gathered for a few hours of fun and games, and after some moments together in the street corner, the curious conglomeration wandered from adult supervision and explored a nearby abandoned sewage facility. From the onset, the children enjoyed their playful investigation and imaginative exploration around this deserted sanitation complex. However, as they walked a narrow path near the edge of a large raw sewage container, one of them, a 5-year-old girl named Brianna Dover, accidentally slipped, fell, and sank to the bottom. And within moments, young Brianna was helplessly submerged in a tank full of urine and feces, an experience that we simply do not and likely cannot fully imagine. As to be expected, Brianna's young friends immediately screamed and ran for help, but as neighbors and witnesses rushed to the site of the incident, they all stood in a saddening state of shock. And as the initial moments turned into extended minutes, the confusion turned into fear. For although some considered diving in to try and save Brianna, not a single person stepped forward. The container, they must have figured, was just far too large. The smell, they must have thought, was just far too disgusting. The actions required, they must have calculated, far too dangerous. And with each passing minute of bystander indecision, Brianna Dover, held to the brink of life at the bottom of the sewage reservoir, moving closer to death with each tick and tock of the clock. In the meantime, a middle-aged Rastafarian man named Ordoc Reed heard the commotion in the near distance. And in response, Ordoc Reed approached this abandoned sewage yard. He was greeted with loud screams and anguished faces in what can be described as nothing short of moral miraculousness. When he was told about the young girl buried at the bottom of the stink and filth, he reacted immediately. Ordoc Reed, not only was he a total stranger, but a Rastafarian stranger, and therefore a modern-day Samaritan, one who was often marginalized and ridiculed by the mainstream Christians, Muslims, and Hindus of his country. But despite his social marginalization, Ordoc Reed sprung into action. He took off his clothes, he tied up, and eventually cut off his sacred dreadlocks, fastened a rope to his waist, handed the other end of the rope to an onlooker, and he proceeded to submerge himself through the muck and filth of raw human waste in an attempt to rescue Brianna Dover, a total stranger. And as time passed, a large crowd gathered near to the scene, and together the crowd watched and they wondered as over and over again the single man, Ordoc Reed, rose to the surface for oxygen covered with filth. And over again, he dove back into the tank, risking his own life each and every step of the way while everyone else watched. But time passed on. Minute after minute, attempt after attempt. And after 30 minutes of diving through the vast tank of filth in a solo search for a stranger, Ordoc Reed eventually found and pulled out the body of Brianna Dover, who died that day after 5 precious years of life. Her body had been submerged in the sewage for too long, and because of it, her oxygen had been cut short, and because of it, so had her life. Unfortunately, this is a true story. It is unfortunate in so many ways that even the term unfortunate cannot capture its sadness. But fortunately for us, as we hear of such unfortunate loss of life in the midst of the lives we are fortunate to continue living, we are reminded of an important lesson as we continue to contemplate what it all means to be people of faith. More specifically, today we are reminded of those remarkable gospel words Jesus is recorded by John as saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for you and for me, the sheep of his pasture. There are few words more powerful than these. When I first heard this story of Ordoc Reed years ago, I was living in Guyana, and it was the village in which I lived, in which this all took place. And after hearing about what had happened, I remember thinking about this scripture that I'm sharing today. The Good Shepherd. Why is he good? Perhaps he's good because of his willingness to die into the sewage of our lives, when no one else will, to the point of giving his life so that we might have life in its fullness. This God made known in Jesus, this God who encounters us in word and sacrament, this God who journeys with us in our lives, no matter what we have done, no matter what we have left undone. No matter where we have gone, no matter where we are, no matter where we are going, this God that created all is with us all that God has created as a gift in the process of continued creation. This radical affirmation of God's presence that we share to one another every Sunday in this place, as we speak to one another that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. The core of the gospel, the good news, that in the midst of our day-to-day existence, our questions, our mistakes, that Jesus enters into our lives. No matter what situational sewage we place ourselves in, Jesus is there to the ends of the earth. The gospel, the promise that you and I grasp onto this day, the promise that God is there, that God is with us. Even when people disappoint you, even when you disappoint others, God is there. Even in the sewage of our lives, thanks be to God. And I say thanks be to God because when I look around, I see this struggle in our lives. And I know you do too. You know it, I know it. At times, when we look at the struggles of our world, we wonder, where is God in the midst of all this junk? This pain, this sadness, this disappointment. We see the violence and the hatred. We see discrimination and segregation. We see it. And we wonder, where is God in the midst of this crap? And we feel it. We feel it in the midst of the stress around studies and scholarship, the complications of relationships, the concerns around finances, the wonders and tensions about the million people per day that ask you, so what are you going to do this summer? The judgment that you feel when you walk into the cafeteria or into the classroom, the lack of trust, the constant evaluation, the never-ending tests. We feel it, especially during the first week of May. Sometimes we feel like we're at the bottom of a big sewage tank, and we too wonder if it will ever end, because we question if there is anyone that is willing to help pull us out, because deep down we wonder if anyone else really cares. But God sees what we see, and God feels what we feel. And thanks be to God, we recognize that God can do through us and to us what we cannot do on our own. Because God turns our lives around, pulls us out of the depths, provides new life, and shows us that resurrection is real. It's real. During this Easter season, we gather to affirm that resurrection is real because God continues to insert God's self fully into the junk and mess of our lives. Stirs us from our slumber, oftentimes in the most unexpected and improbable of circumstances. And in doing so, we are made new by the resurrected Christ. And we are invited to participate in this life-giving and life-freeing renewal, even when it seems like things could not get any worse, even when it feels like the night will never end and the sun will never rise, and even when it feels like the winter of our hearts and minds simply cannot turn over to spring. We are given the gift of faith because God is with us. Especially in the struggle, God is with us. God is there, active and present, reconciling that which is broken, transforming that which is crushed, and empowering that which is dormant. God is with us, animating and facilitating and agitating. God is with us, orchestrating and organizing and mediating, collaborating, advocating. God is with us, navigating the complexities of our lives, relating to us in the form of Jesus, celebrating, rehabilitating, resuscitating. God is with us. God is with us. Liberating and emancipating, turning the winter of our souls into the spiritual spring which we celebrate. God is there for you and for me. So I want to conclude my message this morning on a personal note. I'm reminded this morning of some advice a pastoral mentor shared with me, and he said, every Sunday, all you got to do is just preach what you know. Just preach what you know. A simple message. And today, I'm just going to share that I know that I believe that in the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of our struggles, God is there. Thousands of miles away or in the presence of this campus, God is there. And it doesn't mean that makes life easy. It doesn't mean that it makes life uncomplicated. And it doesn't mean that you or I will always do the right thing. God knows I don't. But what it means is that you and I are receivers of the greatest promise in all of human history, the promise that we will never, ever, ever walk alone, because Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. The Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And in response, we say, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, the Good Shepherd of our lives, this day we ask that you remind us of your presence, especially when it feels like we have fallen into the sewage of life. Remind us that there is no place that you will not go with us. And help us to be vessels of such presence for others. Be with us this day, Jesus, in word and sacrament. This is our prayer. We trust it is your desire. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as we hold award ceremonies, senior showcases, and ensemble concerts here on campus, we thank you for all the gifts our student body brings to this community. We also give thanks for the faculty and families who support and encourage them. Please guide our students in continuing their work and service, whether it be into their next semester or into their futures beyond higher education. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Lord, as we celebrate our 35th annual May Day Conference, this year addressing the topic of empowering veterans and bringing to light the challenges they face in reintegrating into society, help us in caring for the needs of our returning soldiers. We pray for those suffering from mental illness due to their service, those seeking employment or education, and all those trying to provide a better life for themselves and their families upon returning home. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Lord, as riots break out in Baltimore and protests concerning racial injustice continue around the country, we pray for peaceful discourse between our people and our government. We ask you to lift up the peaceful protests in the area and to allow formerly silenced voices to be heard. We pray for the courage to address the racial inequalities throughout our nation, so that justice may be served for those whose lives have been lost. Lord of love, Lord, we pray for the places in your world marred by chaos and violence. We continue to pray for the people and communities of Nepal after the devastating earthquake last week. We also continue to pray for the hundreds of migrants killed or stranded in the Mediterranean after a series of shipwrecks. And for these other struggles, we pray for your guidance. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God is with you all.
invite you to please stand. Life-giving God, may you bless our gifts and let them go forth from us to benefit all your children with wisdom, compassion, and imagination. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, power hungry and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and the wine poured, whenever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story. As it has been told 1,000 times over, we eat the bread, we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong at this table. And that our Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to this table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let the bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. When Jesus ate with his friends, he took bread and after giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup and after giving thanks, he passed it to his friends saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread. We share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come forward for communion, we will commune by intinction. We take the bread and dip it into the chalice, receiving the body and blood of our Lord. As you go forward, because it is a little tight up here, we'll direct you back through the second aisle as you make your way to your seat. These are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God. All are welcome. Amen. You may be seated. Stand. Gracious God, generous Mother of Life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ appeared to the disciples.
Christ appeared to us.
Christ will appear again.
Let this mystery be one we live.
Fashion us with Christ's hands.
Form us with Christ's heart.
Shape us in Christ's hope.
Let this resurrection be in our lives.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Just a few announcements before we depart this day. A special thank you to all who participate, especially the students who are leading worship this day. Thank you so much for that. Please feel free to stay and visit after the service. We have some snacks in the back, so please stay, get to know each other, and you look like reasonably friendly people, so find a reasonably friendly stranger and meet said person in the next few minutes. A reminder, daily Sabbath takes place every day, Monday through Friday, from 10 until 10:20. Please feel free to take advantage of that opportunity. And of course, next Sunday, here at 10:30, Sunday Worshiping Community for Service of Holy Communion. Thank you all for being here today. Enjoy this absolutely gorgeous day that we are having. With that being said, please receive this dismissal. People of God, go in peace and faith. For nothing can separate you from the love and source of life.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.